Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas sitting in for Andy Bolbart today, joined by Steve Bailey. An appropriate theme song, I feel, for our next guest. You know him as the man Andy Bolbart refers to as Dunny from WBNS 10 TV down in Columbus. Sean Dunnigan joins us. Sean, thanks so much for coming on Bullseye on the Afternoon here today. And I thought we'd start things off with a little Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's at least my favorite intro in wrestling.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of, if not the best ever. Definitely agree with that one.
Was he your guy back in the day? Who was your all-time like favorite wrestler? I guess I've never bothered to ask you. Please tell me it's The Rock, knowing that you and Bull are friends.
So, no. Mine is definitely Stone Cold and then Bret the Hitman Hart. Pre-WCW days were my two favorite.
Right.
My favorite now is Kevin Owens and AJ Styles.
All right. I had a go there of like 2 years, I think, high school, freshman into sophomore year. All my buddies were into it, so I jumped on the bandwagon there. I will tell this. I was a big fan of Mick Foley, Mankind.
Absolutely.
He wasn't built like the other wrestlers. He was built like me. He was a fat guy who was kind of soft, who was an amazing wrestler.
Absolutely. He's built like most of America.
Exactly. So how could you not get behind a gentleman like that?
Except he's like 6'9".
Well, he's not 6'9", is he?
He's not even, no. He's like 6'2", 6'1".
Yeah. He's not tiny. I will give you that. But I think compared to some of the other wrestlers out there, he looks a little short. Well, anyway, thanks for joining us here today, Sean. You've been busy, obviously, today.
Are you sure Andy's not doing this program? Because this is more wrestling than we've talked.
That's the most wrestling I've talked, I think, in the last 10 years of my life. I will say that as well. Just hasn't been the same, I feel, since the two things converged. That's when I sort of left off. Yeah.
I gotcha.
Well, you've been busy, sir. One place that does host a lot of wrestling events, pay-per-view, Monday Night Raws, SmackDowns, is Nationwide Arena. And right now, going on over there, you've got some college basketball earlier today, Cincinnati taking on Iowa. My understanding is you were there. What'd you take from that game? What'd you see from those two squads?
I think it was one of the better games that we've seen so far this past 2 days. Now, granted, it was the first game here on the second day of the tournament, but I thought it was a great game. I was down, I believe, somewhere around 13 in the first half, cut it to 5 for halftime. And then they just kept with Cincinnati, and about 10 minutes left, they just took over, and there was just too much Cincinnati couldn't do. Iowa was hitting everything. The Big Ten now, 6-0 in the NCAA tournament, and there's still Wisconsin, obviously Ohio State to go. But the Big Ten playing really well right now in the NCAA tournament, proving why it was one of the better, if not the best, conference in the NCAA this year.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. That's what I've been seeing on social media with a lot of my friends, kind of getting that opportunity to say, hey, look, no other conference is accomplishing right now what the Big Ten is doing. Does that speak to what Ohio State's had to kind of put up here? Everyone called them a bubble team. Seemed they got in fairly smoothly there as that 11 seed. Is later tonight they'll take on Iowa State. But, I mean, that certainly speaks to just how good the Buckeyes had to be to get the wins they did get in conference play, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and you know they finished 19 wins overall, 8 wins in conference. So it's not like they had a bad record. It's not like they didn't do good in the conference. With a conference like this, you know, you get the 8 seed, you're doing pretty good in the conference. You're getting in the NCAA tournament, and you know you're losing to teams like Michigan State and Michigan and Wisconsin. You split with them. You know, there's a reason why they're the better teams in the conference, and they showed it. And now the Big Ten is just showing out, saying, hey, here's what everybody had to go through every single day.
Speaking with Sean Dunnigan from WBNS 10 TV down in Columbus, Ohio, about the Ohio State Buckeyes tonight. They take on Iowa State in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And you just kind of pointed out, I mean, the Buckeyes competition this year, their last loss was a good one to a very good Michigan State team that went on to win the Big Ten tournament. What's the atmosphere like right now in Columbus? What are the thoughts of people, I guess, as the Buckeyes get ready for Iowa State here after what was a good game against a very tough Michigan State team?
I mean, everyone's kind of like of the opinion of this is exactly what we thought this Buckeye team would be. On the bubble, either bubble in or bubble out, it really didn't matter to a lot of people if they got in or not. It just mattered if they win or not. It just mattered that they got in. And they got in, they got the last spot before the bye, or before the first four, so they didn't have to play in Dayton, which was a good thing. But the Buckeyes are not happy to just be in. They want to make some waves. They want to go to next weekend. They want to play as much as they can because, again, they're still such a young team. This was a team that was supposed to have five seniors. They're all transferred out. You know, so you only had C.J. Jackson and then Keyshawn Woods, who transferred in, and Joey Lane, who was a walk-on, who started his first game in his senior day. So you didn't have a lot of great depth, but you get depth next year when you have three unbelievable players come in and all these guys have another year under their belt, especially playing another tournament game.
Sure. And the old saying goes, too. I mean, even the freshmen that you kind of have come in at this point in the season, they're essentially sophomores. So I would assume they've got some pretty good veteran leadership going into this game against Iowa State. But Dunny, what I saw when reading up on Iowa State is this was a team that earlier in the year had some turmoil. There were some dust-ups during practice. I had read some guys throwing around the word selfish play after losses. And then it all seemed to come together. They figured things out in time for that Big 12 tournament. I think they lost six of their last eight games, too. But the Big 12 tournament, they ran the gauntlet. They beat Kansas. They're the Big 12 champions over there. So what do you see from this Iowa State team here?
I see a team that can run and gun. They can shoot. They average near 80 points a game. It's exactly kind of the opposite of what the Buckeyes wanted to see. The Buckeyes would have been happier, I think, with a worse shooting team. Obviously, everybody would like to see a worse shooting team. But I think the Buckeyes, I think they have a very good game plan from what we've been able to hear from Coach Holtman and the players. They are confident. The Buckeyes are confident against what they can do against the Cyclones. I'm not sure everybody else is confident, but as long as the Buckeyes are confident, that's what all that matters to them, is that they know they can go out there and they think they can win this game.
So, Dunny, is that one of the big keys for Holtman and the Buckeyes tonight, to try and control the tempo of this game and try to keep it maybe in the 60s?
Absolutely. They want to keep it more of a Big Ten pace type of game instead of a Big 12. The Big 12, they like to, you know, they run a lot more. They're a quicker tempo offense. They want to slow the game down. They definitely want to have more players and more, or they want to have more players slowing the ball down, walking the ball up the floor instead of jogging it up. They want to slow the ball game down and control what they can control and control the game.
Who are some of the guys the Buckeyes are going to need? I mean, obviously, Caleb Wesson's one of those guys they're certainly going to need, the team's leading scorer. But who are those guys they're going to lead on to try and get that done against this Iowa State team?
Obviously, Caleb Wesson. Andre Wesson's another player that should be able to play well. And Keyshawn Woods, he played really good his last two games against Indiana and against Michigan State. They're definitely going to lean on him and see if he can continue that hot streak, even though they haven't played in about a week. So they definitely want to see what Keyshawn Woods can bring to the table against Iowa State.
All right, good stuff. Let's turn the tables a little bit here to the football aspect of things. I know spring practice is going on down in Columbus, but most recently, Sean, the Ohio State Buckeyes had their pro day. Obviously, a number of players involved in that, including quarterback Dwayne Haskins. What was your take from the former Ohio State quarterback, who's projected to go pretty high, I think six overall, to the New York Giants when the NFL draft comes around?
He had a really, really good day. Excellent day. He graded himself an A. I would do the same thing. He only had two really bad balls, and he, I believe, is still, you know, 48 hours from when he was throwing, and he's still not happy with those two balls. There were a few drops, but nothing too major. Threw 50 balls, completed 45 of them, I believe. So overall, he was happy. Everybody was happy. He proved what he wanted to prove with his workout, and that's the most important thing for Dwayne Haskins, is proving to the Giants or proving to whoever wants to take him that, hey, I can make all the throws. I can make NFL throws. I can turn windows. I can throw to keyholes instead of windows, as he was explaining after the pro day. NFL windows are keyholes. They're not windows like they are in college. They are small. He can make those throws. He showed he can make those throws on Wednesday. I think he did a very good job of projecting what he can do.
I was going to say, I think one of the things that always kind of takes place there is to make sure that guy essentially hits his receivers in stride, right? Because there's not a whole lot of guarding going on at that point. I'm always curious what some of the drills are. Do they hold pads up to try and force those windows to get smaller, or is it just kind of seeing about can he hit his targets?
So Quincy Avery, his quarterback coach, would stand in the way, stand in where the ball would possibly go where a defender might be, put his arms up, thrown either above or to the side of where the arms would be of a possible defender. He had a couple of scouts play defensive backs as far as just loose, like get the receivers off coverage. You do have bag work, but that's mainly for the offensive and defensive linemen and the linebackers. But for when a quarterback works out, there's very little bag work, if at all.
Sure, and then obviously a lot of receivers for the Buckeyes looking to get into that draft, looking to raise their stock as well. Who of them had a strong workout?
Terry McLaurin has really shown out this entire process after the season. He's had a very good senior day. He had a very good combine. And he had a very good and consistent pro day for Ohio State. I think he has definitely moved up the draft boards of a lot of teams. I would be surprised if he gets taken third, fourth round by anybody. He has done that good of a job for himself. I think the big winner, though, is Sonny Dixon. He showed he can run any route as a pro. He is an excellent route runner. I don't believe he dropped the ball. He made some great catches. I think he really opened some eyes of some scouts and some GMs and some coaches that were there watching the pro day that, hey, this might be a very good late-round sleeper pick to be able to pick up a guy and possibly even put in the slot or put on special teams.
Yeah, Donnie, that was going to be my question. So outside of Dixon, were there any kind of under-the-radar guys who opened some eyes, some Buckeyes that maybe, you know, the casual fan wouldn't know outside of, you know, your Bosa's and your Haskins?
No, not really. I mean, everybody knows a lot of what these guys can do. Mike Weber caught some passes out of the backfield. He wanted to prove that, hey, I didn't have to do this a lot here at Ohio State, but I did have to do it. He wanted to show that he can catch balls out of the backfield. He does have decent hands. And I think he accomplished that catching balls from Haskins. He had one drop, I believe. He had another one where he double caught it. But he did make all the catches he needed to, and I think he comes away very happy with how it worked out.
How many players do you think the Buckeyes will send NFL-wise on draft day here coming up this year?
If I had to count, I'd say possibly 7 to 8.
Nice.
You know, you include an offensive lineman like Michael Jordan, defensive lineman like Draymond Jones, along with the normals of Haskins and Campbell and Bosa and McLaurin. And I do think Johnny Dixon will get taken somewhere.
Nice. Very good. And then, of course, spring practice is going on down there as well. What's going on during spring practice? It sounds like from everything I'm hearing, Fields is really kind of showing up and he's been taking a majority of those snaps with the number ones, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been taking the Missouri defense. We get another sneak peek at practice tomorrow. It's Student Appreciation Day for any Ohio State students. They can go to practice tomorrow and watch the Buckeyes actually perform. So that would be cool to see for everybody to be out there. But Justin Fields, he feels like he's the number one quarterback right now. They haven't announced it as that. They probably won't until at least after the spring game. If not, make it go a little bit into fall camp, which I think would be a mistake because you want to have your number one guy going into camp, especially somebody that hasn't been there that long. Matthew Baldwin, don't sleep on him. He can still sling it. And from what I'm hearing, he's slinging it really, really well in practice. So that's a good thing to hear. Offensive lines, sometimes you take some work. You have a lot of injuries like Thayer Munford. You're replacing four offensive linemen. So you're going to have a lot of continuity issues come the fall. You can't really solve those for you right now. Other than that, everyone's playing really well. We talked to some linebackers yesterday. We talked to Al Washington yesterday, the new linebackers coach who came over from Michigan, and he was very happy with the way that the young guys are really picking things up and you know, showing that the Ohio State linebackers are better than what they really showed last year.
That's interesting. I'm curious, too. I mean, do the practices all seem to have, at least from what the media gets to see, that same flow that Urban Meyer kind of had with Ryan Day now at the helm and him having coached under Urban for so long?
No doubt about it. It definitely looks like the same practice from what we've seen so far. They're a little bit more open to us in the media, so that's, you know, obviously really nice. We really like that and appreciate that. But, yeah, they kind of look the same so far from what we've been able to see. Ryan Day even said that, you know, hey, I'm having to force myself to go down and look at the defense every now and then just because he's so used to just sticking with the quarterbacks and the offense, you know, being a the old quarterbacks coach and offensive coordinator. But the defensive guys said, you know, hey, we know he's there. We know he's watching. He's made some suggestions to us. But he's, as Al Washington and Tony Alford said yesterday, the running backs coach, he's letting the coaches coach. He's just He's not micromanaging anything. He's letting the coaches do their jobs, and he's just overseeing everything exactly what a head coach should be doing.
Awesome stuff, Donnie. Man, I think we ran the gamut today. We talked about wrestling. We talked about basketball. We talked about football. I'm not sure what we could be missing in there.
CBJ hockey, but I believe you just will vote on later to talk about that.
We are indeed, and I don't know if I want to talk about the Blue Jackets hockey right now after last night, man. But I know you and I are both fans, and hopefully they can get some things turned around, and Jeff will give us some good news coming up here at 410, man.
They need to, because there's only 8 games left, and it's a tough 8 games. So we'll see how this goes. But they need 2 points against Vancouver, that's for sure.
Indeed, man. Always a pleasure talking to you, Donnie. Thanks so much for joining us. I know you're a busy man with the tournament going on and all.
No problem. Talk to you guys next week.
Thanks, man.
Sean Dunnigan of WBNS 10 TV down in Columbus.